Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. We had learnt in the Mishnah in the previous shiur that the person who was Rachman Slan Mechuyiv Skila was taken out to the Beis Haskila, and the Gemara quoted a Braisa that says that the Beis Haskila was Chutzl Gimel Machnas, was outside of all of the 3 machnas of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara learned that how do we know that that was where the Beis Haskila was? The Gemara says we learn it from the din of Parim HaNisrofim, that the halach is that the Parim HaNisrofim Shal Tzibur or the Par Kohen HaMashiach were burnt Chutz L'Gimel Machnas. Rapapa begins today's shir by teaching us another way how we know that the Beis Haskila was Chutz L'Gimel Machnas. Because we recall the parasha in the Torah, where the Torah teaches us that there was an individual who was Mekalel as Hashem, and that individual was Mechuyiv Misa. And the Torah teaches us that that individual, the Torah talks about that person, and the Torah says, Moshe Heicha Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was judging that individual. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu reside? Machna Levia. V'amalei Rechmona, the Torah, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hoitzei as ha-makalel amichutz l'machna. The makalel should be taken out of the machna where you are. You are a machna Levia. So apparently he should be taken out to chutz l'machna Levia. But there's another pasuk that says, V'yoitzei as ha-makalel amichutz l'machna. An extra pasuk to say that not only was he removed from the Machna Leviyah, he was also removed Chutz L'Machna Yisrael, and that's how we know that somebody who's Mechuyiv Skila is taken out of all 3 Machnas. Ask the Gemara, but that pasuk is needed for Lasiyah, to teach us that they actually fulfilled what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Ask Tosfos, now that the Gemara, Rapapa, has proven that the Mekalel is taken out of Gimel Machnas, so why did the Torah, as we learned in the previous year, have to go through a whole process to teach us that the Parim HaNisrofim were burnt Chutz L'Gimel Machnas? Ask Tosfos, why don't we just learn that halacha from the fact that the Mekalel was taken out of Chutz L'Gimel Machnas? Answers Tosfos, since we learned in our previous shiur also that for Shchutei Chutz, for the Isser of bringing a carbon outside of the Azara, the Chiyuv begins outside of one Machna. So if we had a parasha of Parim HaNisrofim, we could perhaps learn it from the Mekalel who was taken out of Gimel Machnas. We could perhaps learn it from Shchutei Chutz, which is one Machna. We wouldn't know in which direction to go. That's why the Torah had to specifically say by Parim HaNisrofim that the direction to go, the din, is that they should be burnt Chutz all Gimel Machnas. But again, ask the Gemara, how can we say that this pasuk is coming to teach us that the Mekalel was taken to his stoning to or outside of all 3 machnois? We need the pasuk just to teach us that they did what they were commanded. Answers the Gemara, Asiyah Behadjik Siva. There's another pasuk that clearly indicates that they followed the directives of Hashem. Because the pasuk says, Uvnei Yisrael Asu Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Ask the Gemara, but there's another pasuk, Elam Ata, the pasuk that says Vayirgumor Oisai Evan, that he was stoned. My Avdilei, we don't need that pasuk. Ask the Gemara to tell us that they actually fulfilled Hashem's commandment to stone him, because obviously they fulfilled Hashem's commandment to stone him, because the pasuk says that they did everything Hashem said. Answers the Gemara, that pasuk is needed for a different limud. Haimi Ba'ilei, that pasuk is needed to the Chitanya, as the Braisa teaches us. V'yig oisoi even, oisoi v'loy b'ksusoy. As we will learn later in our perek, that when they did skila, they undressed the individual who got skila in order that he should die quicker. So the pasuk of Oisai teaches us Oisai v'loy b'ksusoy, and we're going to learn if there's a difference in din between how, when a man is stoned versus when a woman is stoned. And then pasuk of Evan comes to teach us Shemes Bevan Achas. If one stone was placed or thrown at him and he immediately dies, Yotza, we have fulfilled the mitzvah skila. Says the Gemara, Vitzrik Lemichtav Evan. There's one pasuk that says Evan, and there's another pasuk when the Mekoshish was killed that the Torah uses the words Avonim. Why do we have one pasuk that says Evan and one pasuk that says Avonim? Dikas Rechmona Evan. If the Torah had only written the word Evan, have mina heichad alay meis bechado, that if the person did not die after the first stone was put on him, loy neisach rina mitali, there is no obligation to bring another stone to kill him. That's why kas Rechmona Avonim, that we keep on bringing stones until we're successful in killing him. Vikas Rechmona Avonim. If the Torah only used the word Avonim, have mina mikara neisitati, that we should originally bring two stones to kill him. Kas Rachmana Evan, that's where the Torah writes the word Evan, to teach us that we first bring one stone, and then if that doesn't work, we bring more stones. As Tosfos, the Pasuk clearly indicates, Yad Edom Tiba B'Rishayna L'Amisai, V'Yad Kala'am B'Achrayna. So it's obvious that more than one stone was used. So how could the Gemara even have a havamina that one stone should be enough? So Tosfos explains that if I didn't have the word Evan and Avonim that the Gemara just identified, I would say that yes, there's a pasuk of Yad Ha'edim Tibem Rishoyna V'Yad Kol Am Bachroyna. But what the Torah is requiring, that very same stone keep on being reused. That's why we need the pasuk of Evan Avonim to teach us that we don't have to keep on reusing the same stone. Another Torah says that if the Torah only would have used the word Yad Edom Tiyabai Rishona, I would think that the halacha that we're going to also learn later in our perek, that they threw the person who's Mechuyiv Misa off the Beis HaSkila, that part should be done through the Edom. But the actual stoning should be done by, not, doesn't have to be done by the Edom, but perhaps that part is enough to be done with one stone. Teaches us the Gemara that the stoning is done with multiple stones until they're successful in killing him. Ask the Gemara. Rapop is teaching us now that how do we know that the base of Skila was Chutz Legimel Machnois? Because of the pasuk that we learned by the Makal, v'hai Tana Nami Kamer. But the pasuk we learned yesterday, that the Tana, there's a Braisa that clearly teaches us that the reason we know the Beis HaSkila was Chutz L'Gimel Machnos is because we learn it from the din of the Parim and the Sraphim. And of course, what the Gemara is asking is that a Maira, Rapapa, cannot argue on what a Tana says in a Braisa. So how could the Gemara suggest that that's how we know that the base of Skila was Chutz L'Gimel Machnos? Because we learn from that pasuk, how could he ignore the words of a Tana in a Braisa? Answers the Gemara, the way Rapapa understands what the Tana is saying is as follows. Ilolay Nemar Kama. What the Tana is saying, that were we not to have a pasuk by the parasha of Mekalel, then we can rely on this limud from Parim and Nisrofim. Then I would say Gzeirus Shava to teach us that the Beis HaSkila was Chutz L'Gimel Machnos. However, Achshav Shenema Kra, now that we need. Now that we have a pasuk that teaches us this din, gzeirus shava lo tzarach, I don't need a gzeirus shava. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Of course, we've been learning the concept of milsa de'asya b'kal v'chaima Torah for Kosov Lakra. That sometimes the Torah goes out of the way to teach us, the Torah goes out of the way to teach us a din, even though it's not, even though I could have learned it from a Kav Chaimer. But ask the Mefarshim, that's by Kav Chaimer, and we actually gave the explanation, because a Kav Chaimer is something that's based on logic, and logic could always be refuted. But ask the Gemara, a Gzeirus Shava, which, as we've learned many times, is something that was passed down from Rebbe to Talmud, is something that can't be refuted. So why is the Gemara saying that I would have not had a Gzeirus Shava? So there are Rishonim that say that just like by Kav HaChomer, we say Milsad Asim Kav HaChomer, Torah for Kosov Lakra, so too we say by Gzeirus Shava, even though it's complicated to say. And because of that complication, they actually want to say that our Gemara doesn't really mean Gzeirus Shava. What our Gemara really means is a Mamet Tzinu. Another pshat that I saw is a concept that Tosfos actually raises in the previous Omid. Tosfos says that there is an issue how we can learn the din that the Beis Askila was Chutz L'Gimel Machnas. Tosfos asks, because there's a rule in Hilchos Kachim, and Mitzvah Shem, when we learn the Kachim Mesechtas, we'll encounter that halacha, that some things are dover halamid, behekish, ain't chayzer lamid b'gzer shava. In Kachim, something that was first itself only derived from somewhere else cannot serve to teach us further halacha. And therefore, the Gemara's question, therefore, since the Torah doesn't explicitly say by Kachim, that the halacha is that the parma and the srafim are burnt chutz legimel machnas, it's only something that's learned with a hekish. That is not the kind of limud that we could take a step. That is not the kind of limud that we could take further and use as a source for other halachas. Now we could very well understand why we couldn't rely on the Gzeirus Shava, and that's why the Torah had to explicitly teach us the halacha that the Mekalo was taken out of Gimel Machnas, and that the Beis Askila is Chutz L'Gimel Machnas. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi says a different way how we know that the Beis Askila was Chutz L'Gimel Machnas. For Moshe Hechi Avi Yosef, exactly where did Moshe Rabbeinu, where was Moshe Rabbeinu located? The Machna Leviya. Vamalei Rachmana, and Hashem told him, Hoitzis Mekalo, which means, take him out, Chutz L'Machna Leviya. And the Pasuk goes on to say, El Mechutz L'Machna. What is the Pasuk trying to teach us with these words, El Mechutz L'Machna? To teach us he was taken out, Chutz L'Machna Yisrael. Says the Gemara, V'yoytzi Esis Mekalo. The Pasuk continues to say that they did it. V'yutzi Esis Mekalo L'Asiya. Ask the Gemara, Asiya, Behedya Ksibu, as we just identified earlier in the Omid. We don't need this Pasuk to teach us that Klal Yisrael actually did it, because the Pasuk says, Uvnei Yisrael Asu Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Answers the Gemara, that Pasuk is needed to teach us a different halacha. Hahumi Boilei, Chad L'Smicha V'Chad L'Tchiyah. That Pasuk is coming to teach us that as part of the procedure of Skila, the Edom would lean their hands on the defendant, and then they would push him off the building. That's what that pasuk has come from. Ask the Gemara, Amle Rabbanan Rav Ashi, ask the Rabbanan to Rav Ashi, Lidi Doch, according to you, Kol Hani Hoitzi, the Ksib Psar Minasrafim, my Dar Shabai, the Torah we learned in the previous year, use all these words, by Par Minasrafim, to teach us that the Parim Nisrafim were taken out, Gimel Machnas, aren't all those words superfluous? Says the Gemara Kasha. And as we've learned many times, there's a difference between when the Gemara uses the word Kasha versus when the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta. Kasha means that there's a teretz. What is the teretz that the Gemara could give? So Mefarshim say that the teretz that the Gemara could have given is that the word The word, if you read the parasha, we don't actually have time to go through this, but if we read the words of the parasha by Parim Nisrafim, we will actually find that there are no superfluous words. Whereas if we read the words of the parasha by Mekalel, the words Haitzi are indeed superfluous. We learned in the Mishnah discussed the actual procedure for the stoning. So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Echer Ayman Amar Rav Huna. Pshitali, it's obvious to me that Echer Evan Sheniskaba, both the stone that was used for stoning, Vecher Eit Shenitlaba, the tree on which the person who was stoned was hung on, because the halacha is that after the stoning and the person is killed, he's hung for a short while. Vechet Sayif Shehenariba, where Misa Sayif is done, the sword that's used for that. Vechet Sudah Shenechnekba, when Chenek is done. Vechet Sudah Kulam Shal Tzibur. All of them come from the Tzibur. The Tzibur has to pay for it. And Taisus points out that so too will be the halacha that the psila, the wick that's used for burning, was also came Mishal Tzibur. The reason the Brisa doesn't mention it is because in the Gemara further we're going to speak about burying the implements. There is no, or discarding them. Here, the psila, there's nothing to burn or bury. It's obviously completely consumed during the Sreifa process. They all came from the Tzibur. My Tama, and where from the Tzibur? Point out the Rishonim, from the Shiore Halishka. Shiore Halishka means that when they collected funds for different purposes, if they had left over, that was called Shiore Halishka. So they all came from the Shiore Halishka fund. My Tama, why? How do we say that? Because it's obvious, says the Gemara, we don't expect a person to have to use his own funds to pay for his own execution. However, ask the Gemara. By Rav Huna, asks Rav Huna, Sudar Shemenifimba. We learned in our Mishnah that there was a flag. There was somebody with a flag standing at the gate of the Beis Din to wave in case they needed to bring him back. Or such shirats ma'meidam. There was the person on the horse that would chase down the people as they went to execute the person. And here asked the Gemara, Mishal Mihu, who paid for those needs? Kivin. Do we say that Solididehu, they all represent his possible being saved? So Mididehu, it only makes sense that he should pay for it. Oidilma, Kivin the Beidina Mechayev and Levabat Sala, since Beis Din is obligated to try to save him, it's Mididehu, it comes from Beis Din's funds. And as the Meroime Soda explains the Gemara's question, he says, certainly, the halacha is that whenever a person, Rachmana Tzlan, is in danger, it is the person's obligation to have his funds used to save him. Even if other people are saving him, they could use his funds. Because that's in a situation where he wants to be saved, where he's in a situation. Here, this person doesn't want to be in the situation of being executed, and therefore maybe the situation is different. The Sioux continues the Gemara. Hadam Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Am Rav Chizda Hayotzi L'Harig, somebody's taken out to be executed. Mashkin Asay Kut Shalvana B'Kay Shal Yain. They used to mix this spice together with wine. Kadesh Titrif Datoy, in order that it should serve like a tranquilizer. And Mefarshim explained that the Yavitz explains an interesting pshat that when a person is more calm when he's being executed, he's likely to die quicker. And since he's likely to die quicker, he will, that's what we want. As the Pasuk says, Shenema, Tenu Sheikh al Ovid, V'yayin Lamari Nefesh.
V'tanya, and the Braisa says, Noshim Yikaris, prominent women should be Yerushalayim, Hay Misnadvus and Mevi'is Haysan. They would donate the Levoina and the wine. Lo Yisnad and Noshim Yikaris. If there were no women that were prepared to donate this, Mishalmi, how was it purchased? And here too, the Gra makes a very interesting observation. The Gra says that the Aloch, that even though the Brice is saying that the women donated the wine and the levana, it was only in a situation where the husband, and we were sure that the husband of these women were prepared to contribute. But in a situation that we're not quite sure that the husbands are agreeable, we're not allowed to take donations from the wife. Because everything belongs to the husband, and we can't take somebody's money without his permission, says the Gemara. When it comes to these ingredients, certainly if there were no one who was ready to donate, it came from the tzibur, came the ksiv tenu, because the Torah says tenu midatu, it should come from the public purse. Actually, this Gemara is the source for a very famous minig. The minig, the custom is that when people drink wine, they say l'chaim. Where does the minig of saying l'chaim when you drink wine come from? Al Gemara. Because Al Gemara says that when they took a person, Rachman al-Tzlan, to the execution, they would serve him, they would give him wine. So when we drink wine, Baruch Hashem, not under those circumstances, we say l'chaim, that we're not drinking wine for that reason. Actually, was drinking wine for life, not chas v'shalom for the other reason. Others say that the reason l'chaim is said when wine is drunk is because there's a Gemara that says that the tree, the Eitz Hadas, that Adam ate from was a grape tree, and we know death came to the world because of that tree. So that's why when we drink wine, we say l'chaim. Others say because we remember in Parashas Noach the episode where Noach drank wine and came to terrible consequences. So again, because of that, we try to avoid when we drink wine, we say l'chaim. The minig is also now the Paiskim say there actually is a nafgamina lahalocha between these reasons. Because the question is l'chaim only said when one drinks wine, or is l'chaim also said when one drinks other alcoholic beverages? If we say that the reason is because of the episode with Adam and Noach, so it should be strictly when one drinks wine. However, if we say that the reason is because of Al Gemara, that they gave somebody who was about to be executed, Rachman Tzlan, an intoxicating beverage, so it's not strictly wine, it would be any alcoholic beverage. Also, the minig is that when one is about to make a Bari Pri HaGofen, they say Savri. Where does that minig come from? The minig comes from because they would very commonly bring a bottle of wine during the meal. And when they brought the bottle of wine during the meal, the halacha is that a Bari Pri HaGofen has to be made. And the person would take a cup of wine and make the Bari Pri HaGofen on behalf of all of those sitting at the meal. So he would announce Savri Maronan. Everybody stop and pay attention to the bracha, the Bari Pri HaGofen I'm about to make. And then they would drink. And that's where the meaning of drinking Bari Pri HaGofen comes from. So Rishonim point out that clearly Al Gemara says that the kurt shel vana and the koish shel yayin comes from the tzibur. The only question is, what about the other items that our Gemara identified that were also used during the execution process? Who paid for them? So I saw that the Mefarshim, the Rishonim debated. The opinion of most Rishonim is that there's no reason to differentiate between different items, and that all items came Michel Tzibur. Says the Gemara, "Bar mine Rav Acha bar Huna mirav Sheshes. Ama echem in a Talmidim. If one in the Talmidim said, Yesh li lelamed alav schus, I have reason to say that this person should be acquitted. V'neshtatek. And then he unfortunately
loses the ability to speak, and he can't say what the reason is he would like to say that this person should acquit it. Mahu. And as Rashi explains the Gemara's question, do we say that perhaps he would have said a very cogent argument that could have prevailed, and therefore we should disband the Beis Din? He can't say the argument because he was nishtatik, but we have to be thinking about that argument, and therefore we should disband the Beis Din. Or are we not concerned from that? And as Reb David Pavarsky explains the opinion of Rashi, Reb David Pavarsky explains that what Rashi means to say is that this Talmud sat with this Beis Din, and this Talmud obviously had some sort of reason for acquittal that Beis Din did not come up with. So we have to be concerned that since Beis Din till now hasn't come up with this argument, this Beis Din isn't coming up with that argument. But it may be a very good argument. So we have to perhaps have another Beis Din begin dealing with this case. And perhaps this new Beis Din will come up with the argument that this Talmud would have said. Menafik Rav Sheshes Biyadei. So Rav Sheshes waved with his hand. Nishtatik. If we're going to be concerned for this, then I feel Echa B'Soyif Olam Nami. Then should we be concerned that maybe someone who wasn't here at all, there's always the possibility that if somebody else would have heard this, the arguments, he would have come up with that reason. Says the Mar, you can't compare the situation. Hossam, in that case, like Kamar, nobody came up with an argument. So we don't have to be thinking about something that hasn't happened. Hocha, but in our case, Kamar, the Talmud started saying the reason. We can't just ignore it. Samai, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Tosh Shema, Damar Rav Yosi Bachanina, Echem and the Talmidim Shavzika V'meis. If one of the Talmidim had a reason for acquittal and he died, so when we come to take the vote, before the actual vote is taken, we view as if he's still alive, and we count his vote as a vote for acquittal. But what is the Bryce saying, says the Gemara? Zika in, if he actually expressed his reason for acquittal. But loy Zika, if he didn't actually express that reason, loy, we don't start considering it. Answers the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Rather, the way to understand the Braisa is as follows. Zika, if he actually made the argument for acquittal pshitali, that his words should be counted. Omar, the question is, when he only said a tibolok, and the reason explained Rashi, why the Braisa spoke about the case of Zika versus the case that he only, Omar, that he wanted to say it, because this case that the Gemara is speaking about, that he wanted to say something, he never got a chance to say it, is a very unlikely scenario, and that's why the Gemara is not focused on it. Afilu hu, says the Gemara, even if the person, the defendant himself, comes up with a reason for acquittal, they bring him back. And the Gemara says that we bring him back, but only if we see that what he had, that there are substance in his words. Ask the Gemara, is that thin that we only bring him back if the substance in his words are fila pam rishonah v'shniyah, even the first two times? For Tanya, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, pam rishonah v'shniyah, bein sheyesh mamish devarav, bein she'ein mamish devarav, whether he has something significant to say or not, machzirin, so we always bring back, and we'll see soon why. Only mikan ve'eloch, after the first few times, do we start evaluating im yesh mamish devarav machzir nasoi, ein mamish devarav, ein machzir nasoi. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, the way to understand the Mishnah is mipam shnei ve'eloch. And as the Or Sameach explains, we have to establish a chazaka, and we know that there's a machlokes throughout Shas how a chazaka is established after two or three times, and that's how to understand this Gemara. If after a chazak is established by two or three times, him saying I have an argument for acquittal, and then it turns out that what he has to say isn't substantive, then we have to go through the evaluation process. But until then, as long as he says I have something to say, we immediately turn him back. Minayadi, how do we know asked the Gemara if he has what to say is substantive or not. Omar Abaya, the Masrinale Zugud Rabbonim. We send along a pair of Talmid Chachamim, E Ikamam Shdvarav, and they evaluate what he says. If what he says is substantive in, then we bring it back to review. Eloi Loi, ask the Yad Rama, and why do we need two Talmid Chachamim? Says the Yad Rama, that they have to act as Edim to tell the Beis Din, we are Edim that what he has to say is meaningful statement. Ask the Gemara Limsle Mekara, if we're sending along Talmid Chachamim to make this evaluation, why don't we send them along from the beginning? Why the first couple of times do we let them go back under all circumstances? Answers the Gemara, Agav the boys, the first couple of times we're concerned that since he's very nervous, so he's not paying careful attention and he's not articulating and expressing himself properly. It's only after the first couple of times that we see that he has this tendency of trying to say that he has an argument which really are meaningless, do we start going through this process of evaluation. Says the Mishnah, Matzlois Chus, if they find a reason for acquittal, Petrua, they send him home. Bimlav, Yoitzel Sokol, they take him out to be executed. Ukruz Yoitzel Fonov, and they made an announcement, Ish Ploni Ben Ploni Yoitzel Sokol, he's being taken to be executed, Ash Ova Avera Plonis, because he transgressed the fouling of Avera, or Ploni Ploni Edov, these are his Edim, Komishi Edeilois Chus, whoever has grounds for acquittal, Yova Vilimitalov, should come and say. Amar Abaya, and explains Abaya, V'tzarech L'meimer, they have to say, B'yoin Ploni, U'b'shar Ploni, U'b'mokim Ploni, that this event that supposedly happened at this time and this place, Dilma, the reason to go through all these details is because Dilma Ikadiyadi, perhaps there's someone that knows that the Edom could have not possibly have been there, V'asi U'mazimla. And as the Mefarshim point out, the longer it is since the actual event took place, the more necessary it is to go through all of the to give more details for Hazama. V'kruz Yoitz Lefonov, says the Gemara, this announcement is made, Lefonov, only as he's going to the execution, now we're concerned, this is the last moment, to see perhaps that the Edom could become Muslim. But Mikara, before the actual case started taking place, Loi. Says the Gemara, Omer Bishur ben Levi, Kol Azoy Ve'yaches Yitzroy, whoever slaughters his Yetzahara, Umisvad Olav, and says, Vidui, Malalav Akosov, the Torah considers it, Kilu Kibir LeKadosh Baruch B'Shnei Olamim, as if he gave respect to Kadosh Baruch in two worlds, Ha'ilam Hazev, Ha'ilam Abba, the Siv, Zoivich Toidi Yichab Deneini, the double Nun. And as the Mefarshim explain, there is a concept of Vidui Ala Ovar, regretting for the past, and Kabbalah Ala Habo, for the future. Vidui Alishaovar, somebody who does vidui merits Olam Haba, and somebody who's Makabal Al Haba to do the right thing is Zoicha to Olam Hazeh. Continues the Gemara, Amr Bishu Malevi. Bizman Shabes Minish Kayim, when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, Adam Akrav Oila, if somebody brings a carbon Oila, Schar Oila Beyada, he gets Schar for bringing a carbon Oila. Mincha, if he brings a carbon Mincha, Schar Mincha Beyada. Amish data shvela. If somebody is modest, ma'al of akosav, the Torah considers it kilo hikr of kalabonis kulam, as he brought all the kabonis in the world. Shenema zivche elikim ruach nishbra. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for is anova. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most important thing is anova v'loyoy. And furthermore, she ain't tefilos in the messes. His tefillah is not despised. As the Mefarshim, the Chassam Sofer particularly explains, based on the Ramban, that the Ramban says that when a carbon is brought, what is the purpose of bringing a carbon, of sacrificing an animal? Says the Ramban, the purpose of sacrificing an animal is that the person imagines that whatever is happening to this animal really should have happened to him. Which, of course, when a person witnessing such an event, gets a tremendous level of anova, of it brings tremendous humility. And that, says the Chasam Sofer, is pshat in the pasuk. Zois tiras ha'oila. What is the tachlis of bringing ha'oila? V'heirim ha'deshen. That the person should realize that he's no more than deshen. He's no more than ash. That he's nothing. When a person comes and lives with such an attitude, v'samay eitzel ha'mizbeach. Such a person is a person that is belongs next to the Mizbeach, a person that is considered Kadosh V'Tahar. But then the Mefarshim ask, that why would we think that his tefillah should be nemesis, that his tefillah should be despised, that the Gemara tells us, V'loi oid sh'ein tefillosoi nemesis. So Mefarshim explained, the nicest pshat that I saw, is that typically somebody who's ruach shvela, somebody that's so modest, may also be an individual, chas v'shalom, who's not besimcha, and he doesn't dress properly, and he doesn't act with a lot of self-respect, because he's very modest. Teaches us the Gemara, that even though, as we just explained, modesty, anova, is so important, it should not be at the expense, chas v'shalom, that he should not be besimcha, and that he should not look and dress and act properly. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. And on the contrary, the Gemara is concerned that the person should act that way, otherwise it may put into question the ability for his tefillah to be useful. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Hoyer Rochim Beisa Kfilah, when the victim, when the defendant was about 10 amos away from the base of Skila, Armelai's father, they told him to say vidui. The Mefarshim explained why when it was 10 amos away, because once he's closer, he is already not in the presence of mind to be thinking clearly. Armelai's father, she came tarach kola mumsim his father, because if you say vidui, you're supposed to be a vidui, and call him his father, yesh lechelek leilam haba. She came at Sinai Ochen, as we find in the story by Ochen, when Klai Yisrael began capturing Eretz Yisrael, and they captured the city and destroyed the city of Yericho, Yeshua said that they weren't allowed to take anything from that city. Ochen took valuables from the city, for which he was sentenced to death. Shamala Yeshua, that Yeshua said to him, Bini, sim no kovet l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael, v'sein lo toida. Admit to what you did. V'yan ochen es Yeshua v'yoyma, omna chatosi l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael, k'zoyf k'zoyf sisi. U'minam yishakip lo viduyev. And how do we know that in fact what he did helped? Shenema v'yoyma Yeshua, ma achatano yachrucha Hashem v'yoyma hazeh. It's only in this world that you're in trouble. You're going to have a kapar loylam haba. Vim any yoydei l'sfadah, so a person can't articulate a confession. I'm like, amar te misasti kapara kavanaisai. Say that my misa should be a kapara. If he knows that this was a setup, and therefore he's not prepared to admit to something he did not do, I'm a he could say that this Avera I didn't do, and I don't need a Kapara for this Avera. Amloi, but the Chum said, avoid that. Because having people say that could cause a very bad precedent. Because Yei Kol Adam Oymekein, everybody's going to speak this way, in order to clear their name, and people are going to start to question the correctness of the Psak Bezdin. Tan Rabbana, no. Yeshua said, no. No, ain't no. Ela Loshim Bekasha.
Why? Says the Gemara. B'shash am HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshua. At the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua, Chot Yisrael, Klal Yisrael did an Aveira. Somebody violated the Cheirim of taking from Yericho. Amal from Ribbono Shel Olam. Mi Chata, who did this Aveira? Amal V'chidotar Ani, am I going to tell you tale? And from here, actually, there's a tshuva in the Gris Moshe. The Moshe teaches, tells Rabbeim, teaches in yeshivas, to avoid using as a method of disciplining, having students speak about other students. Because our Gemara shows us how terrible it is to speak one about another. Rather, hapel garolus, take a girl, holach v'hippel garolus. And Yeshua went and made a girl. V'nofa garol al ochen. And the girl came out an ochen. Omloi, Yeshua b'garol at the barolai. That's the way you want to make the determination. Atav alozak hakoyin, shnei gedoyle ador atem. You two, you and Yeshua are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Imaniya mapel aleichem garol, if I will make a girl between the two of you, aleichem echem anoifel, one of you will also come out in the girl. So he started questioning the veracity of the girl. And of course, as the Rishonim point out, his claim was a very weak claim. Because, number one, Yeshua went through a whole process of consulting the Urim V'Tumim, which indicated that the shevet from where the person who had violated the Cheirim was from Shevet Yehuda, and only then did they use a girl to drill down which base Av, which person Ochen. Furthermore, Tosfos says his Yeshua was concerned that the girl will be questioned and that will lead to problem when Etz Yisrael is divided by a girl. But Tosfos says it's really not a perfect comparison, because as we know, Etz Yisrael also had the Urim V'Tumim as part of the process. Just Tosfos is saying Yeshua was so concerned that there shouldn't be any question, that's why he immediately said to him, don't cast any aspersion on the gorillas. Rather, tain taida, immediately admit to avoid any of these problems. And says Ravina, what Yeshua did was that he sort of bribed him. He says, all we're asking for you is to admit to your avera. Tain loy taida v'hifater. Admit, and you'll be free. Miyad v'yan ochnas Yeshua v'yoyma, omnach ochna tosse Hashem al-kei Yisrael, kazoich v'sisi. Farshim say Yeshua never explicitly said to him that if you admit, I'll let you off, because otherwise it would turn out that Yeshua was saying something which wasn't true, because he didn't let him off. That's not what he ever said explicitly. Amr of Asi, Amr of Chanina. Melamed Shemol Ochen B'Shloshe Charomim. Oil had violated three Charomim. Shnayim B'mei Moshe. Two already in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mefarshim say one was in the time when Klal Yisrael went to war with Melech Arad. One was in the time that they went in Melech Arad. The Rashi says that there is no other pasuk that indicates when there was a cherem, but it must have been that in other wars there were charomim. Melamed Shemal Ochem Shlosh Charomim Shnayim B'mei Moshe V'ech B'mei Yeshua Shenemar Kuzois U'Kuzois U'Sisi. There were other two times that I violated a cherem. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Chamisha Abba B'mei Moshe. There were four in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu V'echad B'mei Yeshua, Shnema Anoichi Chetasi, U'Kezois, U'Kezois Asisi. The word Kezois means four. Kezois means two, and after, in whatever word it says, V'Kezois, it means four, and they say there were four wars, Melchemes Midyon, Melchemes Amalek, Melchemes Arad, all the different various wars that Moshe led Klal Yisrael in. Ask the Gemara about Hashtem Aitam Alayonish. If so, why did Ochen not get punished until now? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shimon, Lazar Shimon, Lefisha Anish Al Astaris, Klal Yisrael
have the obligation of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, but it didn't happen that they should be punished even for sins that they're not aware that other people did, until they actually went through the Yarden, which was at this point. Ketanoi, and now the Gemara goes into this question, are we responsible for other people's averis even when there are averis that are not known? Says the Gemara, it's actually machlokes tanoim. The pasuk says, "Anastoros l'Hashem elokeinu v'niglos lanu l'vaneinu ad olam." Lom and nokud. Now, if you look at the Sefer Torah, you'll see there are nekudas, there are dots placed on top of the words lanu l'vaneinu, and also on top of the ayin of the ad olam. Malamet to teach us shloi onish al nastoros. That Klai Yisrael started getting punished, responsible, one Jew is responsible for the other Jew, even for the averus that are not known, Ach over Yisrael se Yarden, only when Klai Yisrael went through the Yarden. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, so is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amlai Rabbi Nechemya, v'chi onesh al nestaris l'oilam, is anybody ever responsible for the sin that another person does without us knowing? V'la klai nemar ad oilam, that forever we will not be punished. So to explain the machlokes of Yehuda and Nechemya, according to Nechemya, until they went through the Yarden, they were only punished for sins that are goli, and according to Nechemya, they weren't punished for any sins. After they went through the Yarden, Rabbi Yehuda says they were punished even for nestaros. According to Reb Nechemya, they were only punished on the niglas. Why does it make a difference once they went through the Yarden? So the Avdi Nez explains, once Klai Yisrael entered at Yisrael, they were in a different situation. The Avira of living in at Yisrael creates a proper environment of one being responsible for the other. And in fact, there's an interesting Yerushalmi in Masechta Saita that after the Churban, where that environment no longer exists, then the rule of Arvis change. But the question is, Ella Ochen Maitame Inish, if what Ochen did was obviously covert, nobody was aware of, why were Klai Yisrael put into danger? Why, if it's something that nobody knew about? His wife and family knew, and the halacha is that once something is known by three people, it's considered as if it's known by the public, and therefore Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh makes everybody responsible for what he did.